earth, and sky.
So if you imagine being able to take out a scanner with you in the crop field and just pointing the scanner at the plant of interest and getting a signal back. And so you're shooting a laser at the specified plant and getting information back. And the information is, is the pesticide there or not? Is the, is the nutrient there or not that we just added?
Welcome to Earth Skies, Chronicles of a Science Experiment, Episode 5. This season, we're following Aaron Strickland, a postdoctoral chemist at Cornell University. His research project is in nanotechnology, the science of the very small. In this episode 5, Aaron talks about how his science experiment might impact the real world outside of the lab. He said that in the not-too-distant future, we might see his nanotech work used to grow crops better, boost the effectiveness of medicines, or jumpstart advances in longer-lasting batteries. Let's check in with Aaron and see how it's going. Dr. Strickland, welcome to Chronicles of a Science Experiment.
Well, thanks, Jorge. Nice to talk to you again.
So give us an update. How are things going? Last time we spoke, you had made a breakthrough in your research, and tell us more about that. What's happening?
Yeah, things are rolling along pretty good. I've made the molecule that I've been wanting to make, which is this saccharide molecule that will help in this reassembly of the S-layer protein. And now I'm actually putting it to use. So I'm coating gold substrates and trying to see if I can get this S-layer protein to bind. And then we want to study this binding event. And then based on the results that I get, modify our experimental conditions to see if we can affect how well this S-layer protein will assemble on a surface and, mimic what nature's been doing.
Yeah, tell us more about that. I mean, what do you mean by putting this this S-layer protein to use and these binding events? What's happening here? What are you doing?
This is just the sort of the first step in even applying these S-layer protein arrays. But I'm trying to basically make a surface for this S-layer that mimics what is on the surface of bacteria. And try to see if we can reproduce this assembly of the S layer into these really nice arrays that has some downstream applications. Applications in medicine for drug delivery, for example, because these S layer protein arrays on the E. coli are thought to sort of help regulation of chemicals into and out of the bug. And they do this through either passive filtration, for example, because this S-layer surface on the bacteria is very porous, and the pores are very well defined, anywhere from 10 to 20 nanometers, and so they can help regulate what goes into and out of the organism, and those have just natural applicability to some of the things that we're trying to control in medicine, controlled release of drugs, for example.
Yeah, and thank you for touching on one of the real-world things that we might see outside of the laboratory, the applications of your research. And I'm hoping that you might talk a little bit more. I think that's one of the things that's exciting about nanotechnology is that it has such a wide range of applications, not just to making medicine better, but in other areas as well. Tell us more about that.
One of the specific applications that we were looking for in our lab for this S-layer protein is it goes back to this ability that we have to take the and assemble this S-layer protein into these crystals on a flat surface. And so we get this two-dimensional array of pores, and those pores can be filled, for example, with nanoparticles. But if you get two nanoparticles 10 nanometers away from one another, they have properties that can't be realized by just biology or engineering or chemistry alone. There are new properties that we see with these things. And one of those properties is their ability to, these nanoparticles to, I guess, exchange information. And so we would like to use this ability. And one of the applications is with a type of detection. So these nanoparticles are in this perfect array of hexagons. They're spaced 10 to 20 nanometers apart. If we put a layer on top of that, we get a very selective signature from this. It's a form of spectroscopy, but in a sense, it's like barcoding something. So we can use that array and attach chemicals on top of this array and then get the signature of the chemical that's on top of this array. And where this is applicable in our lab or where we're trying to apply it is in detection of pesticides out in crop fields.
You mentioned earlier about how the research that you're doing, how that can be used in electronics.
Well, one other application we're trying to affect is in the battery technology. So the battery life is still an issue, for example, on a laptop. The lifetime of the battery is still a problem. So we're also using these S-layer arrays to make things called nanowires. And so if you have hexagons that are perfectly spaced 10 nanometers away from one another, what you get is sort of a nano forest of nanowires. You get this really high, densely packed nanowire growth from these S-layer arrays. And this is important in not only shrinking battery technology, but also increasing the charge density that's within these batteries. And with nanowires, they can withstand a much higher pressure because there is space in between these. There's enough space in between these that they can flex and bend. And this goes back to the lifetime of a battery. So as you charge up a battery, the material swells and it causes stress fractures and all these things. And then when you discharge it or use up the power that's within it, it relaxes again. And so this constant cycling is very, it's a high stress action on the material. And so if you have a very flexible material that also has the same amount of surface area to get the charge and release the charge, then these batteries could potentially last longer.
You've been listening to Earth Skies, Chronicles of a Science Experiment. This was Episode 5. In Episode 6, Aaron will get up close and personal with an electron microscope and talk about how to deal with slowdowns in the science. Aaron Strickland is a National Science Foundation Discovery Corps Fellow and Cornell University chemist. Carl Batt of Cornell created the concept for this program, which was made possible by the National Science Foundation. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts on our website. Just visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.